Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with founding pastor of Reunion Church in the heart of downtown Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. The next few minutes are packed with hope, challenge, and encouragement. And in today's lost and searching world, that's something we all desperately need to hear. Now, at the end of today's talk, we'll share an exciting challenge with you called Now Let's Go Do Easter. So thanks for staying on for that. Of course, the website, richardellistalks.com, has so many ways to connect with us on there. So check that out at your convenience, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is You Asked For It. So a little bit of a warning up front. The front side of this may be a little hard on you, but stay with me till the end and we'll clean it up. This little phrase, you asked for it, one of the definitions is you're getting the punishment you deserve. Another part of it can mean you're getting what you requested. So here's my question for you. What percentage of your troubles would you say are because you asked for it? If you look at your life, you stop hiding, you stop blaming, you start taking responsibility and you say, okay, God, I don't understand everything that's happened to me, but I'm guessing that this chunk is on me. My choices, my poor choices, and I own it. It's not someone else's fault. The reason I can't get on with my life is not because somebody did something to me. I take responsibility and I want to move forward. Let's read some scripture. Numbers 32. And without reading the whole chapter and the whole story, in Numbers 32, let's start in verse 20. Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, I think we go around this room, anybody watching or listening, and say, you give it time. In all of our lives, our sin has found us out. I'm raising my hand first. Would you care to join me? Now, the people that raise their hands, man, that means something because that costs something. Because if your sin found you out, your sin exposed you. Now you say, well, but that's the thing that triggered the change and that's why I'm going to make it. I get that. But when you get to that point where your sin finds you out, man, it is a whooping. For some people, that's the moment they finally call out to Jesus and they become a Christian. But for Christians who have said, whatever, God, and just done what they wanted to do and just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And finally, God says, whatever you cover, I'm going to uncover. Whatever you uncover, I'll cover. But you kept this covered. Here it is. And it's usually not pleasant. So be sure your sin will find you out. I don't know of many cases where this does not happen, especially with Christians. You say, well, I'm getting away with it. I wouldn't be bragging too loud about that. Because if he's your father, because you're his child, you've been born again into his family, it is his kindness, it is his gentleness that will lead you to repentance. And as I describe it, he will turn the knob, turn the knob, turn the knob until you finally say uncle so you can say father and get on with your life. And then Romans, go to New Testament, Romans 6:23. Some of you know this by heart. It'd be better to know it by life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you pursue a life of sin, you're going to get paid with death. You say, well, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to get hired by sin. And when your paycheck comes, it's going to be death. That's the wages of sin. It's death. That's how they pay in hell, with death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pick a plan. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and then we'll turn this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Okay, so what is the principle? You're sowing, you're plowing iniquity, sin. That's what crop is going to come in. And you say, no, this time it'll be different. It's never going to be different. If that's what you're about, that's what you're going to end up with. Now go to Jeremiah chapter 33. Go back. So you asked for it can be, as I read in the beginning, you're getting the punishment you deserve. You brought it on yourself. But there's another way you can say you asked for it. And the implication in this you asked for it is there's a possibility you asked for nothing. I have this little test you can run for yourselves. Pull in like a, don't use their app, don't call, don't do anything. Just pull in a Chick-fil-A or something parking lot and park your car and just sit there and see how long it is before they bring you chicken. Now, how many of you would say that'd be like crazy? They'd probably call the cops first, right? There's some strange guy out in the parking lot. He won't get out of his car. And they tap on your, can we help, sir? Yeah, nobody's bringing me chicken out here. I got no chicken. It's Chick-fil-A. It says it on the sign. Where's my chicken? Well, sir, did you order any chicken? Did you request chicken? Well, no, but it's Chick-fil-A. I want my chicken. Well, sir, how are we supposed to know you're here for chicken if you don't request any chicken? Well, it's just assumed I'm in your parking lot. And this is how we treat God. Well, I'm here. You know what I need. I don't want to talk to you or anything. I'm just bringing my chicken. Now, if that's nuts in the Chick-fil-A parking lot, then why do you think it's any different with God? He's like, look, I'm not here just to pass out chicken. I'm here to talk to you. I want a relationship with you. Yeah, I know what you need. I know what you're thinking out there, but we're going to speak. And if you want to get what you asked for, you got to ask for something. You got to ask for something. I woke up this morning and hanging on the wall by my bed, almost brought it, is a painting. It's a self-portrait. A painter in the arts district of Paris when I was 6 years old. My dad took us to Paris. We were living in England, took the ferry, and I saw this painting. And the man that painted it, it was him. He's a sea captain, a pipe. Something about that painting struck me. And I probably cried. And my dad, we didn't have a lot of money. I don't think it was really that expensive. Maybe back then it was. But my dad picked up on that I really loved that painting. At 6 years old, I wanted that painting. And we walked away and he went back and he bought that painting. And I still have that painting. Now you say, well, why do you think you have that painting? Because I pleaded with my father and he responded. Now you say, well, how are you going to fix all this? Because supposedly God is sovereign and he already knows what we need. And so he could give it to me anyway, even if I don't ask. And he already knows whether I'm going to ask or not. So what's the big deal? He would prefer that you communicate your needs to him, your desires with him. He wants a relationship. I didn't know this. I just thought he was mad. I just thought he was out to crush me. And then he showed me that he loved me and messed me up. So here's the tragedy. Jesus comes back. We drop dead. You get there. And, you know, God, why didn't you do this? You never asked me. But you knew it was in my heart. Yeah, but I was waiting for you to ask me. That's what I said in the book. Ask me, call unto me. And then I think sometimes we think, well, I'm not going to ask him because what if he says no? What if he says yes? And here's something that you got to get your head around. You got to want him more than what he can do for you. So when you go to him, you have to believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But you know that he loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. He's not going to answer any prayer that's not according to his will. So really, before you even ask, you go to him and say, Lord, look, just really simply, more than what I would ever come to you and ask you for, I want your will to be done. So if my request, if my picker has to be fixed because I'm asking for the wrong stuff, then change me so that when I come to you, I ask for things that you want to give me anyway, and then we're going the right direction. So change my heart, change the desires of my heart. And then when I come to you, it's you that you know I'm after. It's you. Jeremiah 33:3, what does it say? Call to me, simple. Call to me, Jesus, Father. As my mama used to say it, help, Jesus, help. Call to me. And what does he say he'll do? I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But where does it start? You got to call to him. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So you say, well, what does that mean? It means what it says. Ask. Seek. Knock. Do those things. Why? Because there's promises with each one. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open to you. You say, well, that doesn't always work for me. Not when you want your ask, your seek, and your knock more than you want him. You got to want him more than you want whatever it is you think you want. It's not a genie in the bottle and you get three requests and, he's gone. He's God. But he wants a relationship with us. And then he gives you the desires of your heart. And now the things that you're asking for are things that he wants to do anyway. And it's less complicated. So if you got some spouse cheating on their spouse and calling out to God and say, oh God, find a way for me to end up with the person I'm having an affair with. You've lost your mind. Well, the Bible said to ask, right? What? You think I'm kidding? People, oh God, please let this work out. I can be married to both of them. Sin makes you crazy. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Same thing. Two people, a relationship with him, they look at each other and go, I think we're supposed to ask for this. And you go, I think you're right. Okay, let's go. Let's agree together and let's move forward. You say, this is where you can't start. You can't start with, well, what if we do this and it doesn't happen? It's not on you. That's not your piece of the puzzle. Our job is to ask. And you say, well, God, if I'm asking and it's not happened, then you say, is there any chance I'm asking for something I want and you don't want? Then he tweaks your asker, your seeker, your knocker, and you adjust. How many years I prayed for my mother to be healed? My mother was never healed. And you know what changed about my prayers? Take her home. I had permission for God to take her home. Well, then you want your mom to be healed? She was ready to be with Jesus. Let's go. It's not that I wanted her to die. I certainly didn't want her to stay that way. Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, there's no way anywhere in Scripture, and I know I keep harping on this, these are not people just randomly, I'll take a shot at this. These are people that were followers of Jesus. Implicit in this is that you know he loves you, you love him. And when you ask for something, it's not crazy stuff. How many of you got someone you're praying for, at least one person to be saved? Not a Christian, one person. I was hoping for all hands. Everybody in the room listening, watching, you got lost family and friends. Well, I don't know why they don't become a Christian. Are you asking? Are you praying for them? Because when you start praying for these people, then God finds out, okay, now you're up. You're available to be the person I use, or I'm going to send somebody else in. I guarantee you, I see people come to Christ who have been prayed for, and the person that prayed for them is dead. The prayer got answered after they died. The sermon title should almost be, duh. Back to the Chick-fil-A parking lot, like, well, duh, you can't just sit here, order something, ask for something, make a request. What's your request? Your marriage is in trouble? Are you spending more time fighting each other or asking God to heal your marriage? You may not really want your marriage healed, and that's why you're not asking. Or secretly playing, well, maybe they'll drop dead and solve the problem. But don't show a hand. I did not ask for a show of hands on that. You think people aren't thinking that stuff? I'm telling you, they do. Calling each other names. Oh, we're trying to work it out. No, you're not. Unless you're asking God to heal your marriage, you're not trying to work it out because you can't heal a marriage. He can raise the dead. He can do whatever he wants to do, but don't try to do it without him. It almost says that you don't want it to change because you keep banging against each other's heads, making it work out. And by the way, be careful what you ask for. He might just answer your prayer. Now what are you going to do? She likes you now. Luke 15, I'm not going to read this, but the story of the prodigal son, and I just wrote this in my notes. You have to come to Jesus and come to yourself before you ever come home. It starts with Jesus, then you come to yourself, then you come home. But there's got to be some come to Jesus somewhere, somewhere. Another thing that makes this very fascinating for me is I look around this room, I know almost everybody in the room, and I know too many stories, and I can't even look down. Too many miracles, almost like growing feet. These two over here, there's no way they're still married. No way. You say, well, I never see any miracles. You just come here on a Sunday and I'll walk you around. I'll walk you around. Philippians 4:6. Now listen to this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then what does it say? Let your requests be made known to God. That's it. Don't be anxious. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Tell God what your request is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. At some point, you have to let your request be made known to God. You have to tell him what you're asking for. And yes, he already knows what you have need of before you ask, but he's built into the system to ask. So ask, and then you'd be amazed that you get what you ask for. And you're like, wow, that's crazy. The example I've had in my brain forever is if you're a little kid and you want a bicycle for Christmas and you're writing your letter to Santa or whoever, you know, whoever he turns out to be, get detailed on your letter. Red bike, black seat, banana seat, monkey bars, old school, tassels, reflectors. You say, well, you get more detailed, the harder it's going to get. No, the more fun it's going to be. Because then your dad, your mom, they get your list of the one thing you want. You think they go out and just say, I'm going to get some old random bike? You would think if you got a specific request, you'd show up with that. And the kid would go, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I wanted. Now, why do you think God's not that way? Now, if you're 5 years old and you ask for a dirt bike, red dirt bike, black seat, tassels, you might not get a dirt bike at five. So God knows when you ask, he knows what's best for us. And then you have to be okay with that. So yes, he's still sovereign. Yes, he could do something different or delay it. It's yes, no, or wait. He'll always answer. But you go to him anyway. Don't hold back on the ask. We're so afraid we're going to get a no. I've sold all kind of stuff in my life, put my way through college selling mobile homes, and I try to explain this to salespeople. At some point in the exchange, you have to look at someone and say, would you like to buy this house today? And shut up. Don't bail them out. Well, yeah, I know you might want to think about it. Just be quiet and let them answer the question. So stop bailing God out. You got a family member that's not saved, that's not a Christian? You ought to climb in a closet somewhere and say, look, God, you don't understand. You got to save my brother. You got to save my mama. You got to save my dad. You got to save my sister. You got to save my kid. I'm not leaving. And I know this is something you don't want any to perish, so I know we're on the same page on this. So I don't know what the delay is, but you got to save my family member. You got to save my coworker. You got to save my friend. You say, well, you didn't sound like you're being very nice to God. No, it's life and death. Ask him like it's life and death. This isn't some game. Oh, I'll spin the wheel. Oh, I lost. Thank you, God. Good to see you. I'm off to work. You say, but what if he says no? Then you got to trust him anyway, but don't fail to ask. And if he's given you a dream, it's from him. He's given you something that he wants you to do. Then say, God, I believe this is of you. I'm asking you to bless this, to open these doors, to make a way. Don't die not trying, not asking. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. Give him a chance. 2 Timothy 3. We're almost there. Now, I'm not going to read you a ton of verses to go with this because I think this one pretty much sums it up. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay? So this is why I'm bringing this up. Sometimes the persecution that you experience is because you asked for it. You say, well, I didn't ask for it. You asked God to make you holy, to change your life, to show you to grow up. to love him, to serve him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and neighbors yourself. You keep praying this stuff. Whatever it takes, God, make me the man, the woman you want me to be. You ask for it. It says it right here. You desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. So you can't be complaining, you can, but when the persecution comes, you gotta stop being shocked. You asked for it. I didn't ask for persecution. No, you asked for him. You asked God to help you live a godly life in Christ Jesus, and the persecution is the package deal, so stop whining and keep moving. You say, well, I don't wanna suffer. I got a verse in here somewhere about that. Where did I put that? 1 Peter 3:17, jumping ahead. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You're gonna suffer either way. It's better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing. So some of the stuff that we have problems, there's consequence in our lives, stuff that we did. Yes, you asked for it and it came on you. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen because you just don't pray, you don't ask God for. But then there's another category of bad stuff that happens to Christians, and it's perplexing to them, and it's a result of them chasing after God. And they go, what? I thought it was supposed to get better. You're gonna suffer either way. It's better to suffer by chasing him and that persecution results than to just be dead in the water and nothing happen. But call on him, do what he wants you to do, but realize that people who follow him, Hebrews 11, good stuff, bad stuff, you trust him, you follow him, you're gonna be persecuted. It's in print. And you gotta be okay with it and trust him and say, okay, God, this is a package deal. I'm suffering for your sake. There's persecution, the fellowship of your sufferings, I'm in, but it's part of the package. And then you say, okay, God, help me be okay with that. He says, okay, I will. I'll give you peace. I'll give you peace in your storms. I'm not just with you, I'm in you. You're sick, I'm right here with you. Well, heal me, God. That's not my plan. I'm gonna use your sickness in some way. I'll heal you on the other side, but I'm gonna use this situation to reach some people. Are you okay with that? James chapter 4, just this phrase in verse 2, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So, what are you gonna do? Some of you aren't gonna do squat, and I get that. You're gonna keep plowing and hoping something else comes up. It's not. You're gonna blame the whole world, not take responsibility. You're just gonna sit out there in that parking lot waiting for somebody to bring it, and you maybe don't wanna grow up. But there are other people who take responsibility for their actions. They confess their sin, knowing he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you and get on with your life. And then you say, okay, God, I'm gonna start getting very specific and stop being shocked that my prayers get answered because I asked for it. How do you think you got forgiven by Jesus? You asked for it. You call on him, he'll save you. You call on the name of the Lord, he will save you. So ask for it. Here's how simple it is. God, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to pay for my sin and offer me eternal life, package deal. I accept the forgiveness of my sins, this gift of eternal life as a free gift. Come live in me, through me, change me, save me. You're the only one who can. And as you've heard me say thousands of times, to the people who say, it can't be that easy. And my answer is, easy for who? Easy for you. Not so easy for Jesus. It cost him his life on a cross. Not so easy for the Father. He had to turn his back on his Son because his Son, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not so easy, but offered free of charge. That's a God worth trusting. That's a God worth following.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus every day. You know, that's the goal of this program and the goal of Richard himself, to be God's hands, feet, and voice, to help us grow in our faith journey and to become a reflection of Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world. In fact, the Bible refers to the Christ follower's mission as the Great Commission, commanding us to live out and share the message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus. That's our marching orders now that we've celebrated his victorious resurrection. So that's why we're sharing this exciting news that a very generous Richard Ellis Talks listener has offered a $50,000 Now Let's Go Do Easter Challenge, ready and waiting to fully match any new financial gift. Your new gift of any amount will be automatically doubled up to $50,000. What a perfect time for us all to now go do Easter and put feet to our Great Commission. Just go to the website, richardellistalks.com, to join others to have your new financial contribution fully matched, doubling the impact of your new gift. It's an easy way to join us in living out God's Great Commission by being His hands, feet, and voice to our hurting world. It's all on the website, richardellistalks.com. The simple and secure contribute page makes it easy to become a dearly appreciated financial partner. So as we bring this program to a close, thank you for praying about joining the Now Let's Do Easter Matching Gift Challenge. Just go to the website to find out more. And until next time, thank you for listening, and we look forward to again coming alongside you for more Richard Ellis Talks.